She had said that witches are never late. Being late felt as uncomfortable as my tight pilgrim dress. No pilgrim had ever suffered as much as I did. Walking to my seat while everyone stared at me was awful. My desk was in the back of the room. It was a long, long walk. The whole class had time to see that I was a blushing pilgrim. I knew that I was ready to cry. The whole class didn't have to know that, too, so I didn't raise my eyes until I was seated and felt sure that they wouldn't leak. When I looked up, I saw that there were 6 pilgrims, 3 other pilgrim girls, and 2 pilgrim boys. That's a lot of pilgrims for a class of 20. But none of them could be witches, I thought. After checking over their costumes and shoes, I decided that at least 3 of them had cousins who had been pilgrims the year before. Miss Hazen announced that she would postpone my detention until the next day because of the Halloween parade. Detention was a school rule. If you were late coming to school, you stayed after school that day. The kids called it staying after. I didn't feel grateful for my postponement. She could have skipped my staying after altogether. Our lesson that afternoon was short, and I didn't perform too well. I had to tug on my dress a lot and scratch under my pilgrim hat a lot. I would have scratched other places where the costume itched, but they weren't polite. At last, we were all lined up in the hall. Each class was to march to the auditorium and be seated. Then, one class at a time would walk across the stage before the judges. The rest of the classes would be the audience. The classes at the end of the hall marched to the auditorium first. There were classes on both sides of the hall near my room, and the space for the marchers was narrow. Some of the children had large cardboard cartons over them and were supposed to be packages of cigarettes or sports cars. These costumes had trouble getting through. Then there was Jennifer. She was last in line. She looked neither to the right nor to the left, but slightly up toward the ceiling. I kept my eye on her, hoping she'd say hi, so that I wouldn't feel so alone standing there. She didn't. Instead, well, I almost didn't believe what I actually saw her do. But before I tell what I saw her do, I have to tell about Cynthia. Every grown-up in the whole U.S. of A. thinks that Cynthia is perfect. She is pretty and neat and smart. I guess that makes perfect to almost any grown-up. Since she lives in the same apartment house as we do, and since my mother is a grown-up, and since my mother thinks that she is perfect, my mother had tried hard to have us become friends since we first moved to town. My mother would drop hints. Hint. Why don't you call Cynthia and ask her if she would like to show you where the library is? Then you can both eat lunch here. Or, hint. Why don't you run over and play with Cynthia while I unpack the groceries? It didn't take me long to discover that what Cynthia was not perfect. The word for what Cynthia was mean. Here's an example of mean. There was a little boy in our building who had moved in about a month before we did. His name was Johann. That's German for John. He moved from Germany and didn't speak English yet. He loved Cynthia. Because she was so pretty, I guess. He followed her around and said, "Cynthia, Cynthia." Cynthia always made fun of him. She would stick her tongue between her teeth and say, "Th-th-th-th-th. My name is Cynthia, not Cynthia." Johann would smile and say, "Cynthia." Cynthia would stick out her tongue and say, "Th-th-th-th-th-th." And then she'd walk away from him. I liked Johann. I wished he would follow me around. I would have taught him English, and I would never even have minded if he called me Elizabeth. Another word for what Cynthia was two-faced. Because every time some grown-up was around, she was sweet to Johann. She'd smile at him and pat his head, only until the grown-up left.